You have your Bibles open, Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading at verse number 14. We'll read down through verse number 19 today. Philippians chapter number 4. We used verse 14 last week. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we back up to verse 10? This kind of all flows together. Let's just start from verse 10. 14 is kind of our hinge verse here, and then 15 through 19 is our text for today. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for this time that we can come and read your word and take from it this morning. We pray that you'll bless this time that we have here together in your word. Father, we pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll touch hearts today. Help us to take your word and to use it to be conformed to the image of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're taking these last few sections of the book of Philippians as we finish out our study here and looking at the different things that Paul is thankful for. And last week we saw that he's thankful in every situation. We saw that even in the situation that Paul was in, that he said, I'm content. I've learned to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. And he followed that up with our favorite verse saying that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Today, as we continue this study and look for things that Paul is thankful for, we see here that he's thankful for the supply that has been given to him. Not only the supply given to him by the church of Philippi, but most importantly, the supply given to him through Almighty God. As we see in verse number 19, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you about here today. Thankful for supply. The text begins with Paul commending the church for their sacrificial giving to the work of the Lord. And I'm thankful to go to a church that practices sacrificial giving to the work of the Lord here and abroad. And we believe in that, and we think it's an important thing to do. In verse number 15, we read as Paul remarks that they were the only church from their area that offered support. In verse number 16, we see that he remembers that while he was in Thessalonica, they sent help. Not just one time, but also two times. In verse number 17, we see that he reminds them that all he was able to do was because of their giving, and it would be put on their account later in eternity. Next, in verse number 18, Paul speaks of how blessed he is because of them and of God's being pleased with them. Not only had they sent multiple gifts of help in the past, now they had sent yet again as he is confined there in Rome. And Paul says of their giving and their supply that this church is sending to them, he says, I am full. Does that make you think of Thanksgiving? Every time I read that, I think, I know they didn't send turkey and dressing, but I think Paul is full because they sent Epaphroditus over with some turkey and dressing and some cranberry sauce and some Milo's sweet tea. I used to say Mama's sweet tea, and I moved here and there's Milo's sweet tea everywhere, and I love this place, Milo's. It's just wonderful. I don't know if you like that tea or not, but I do. And when we have church gatherings, there's always a gallon down there. I don't know who brings it, but you keep it up. It's a blessing to me. I'm thankful for your supply of the Milo sweet tea. But Paul says here, I'm full. More importantly, he says their giving was pleasing to God. More than being pleasing to him, more than being filling to him personally. He says, your giving that you've given to me, through your giving to me, you're pleasing God in what you are doing. He alludes there in verse number 18 to the Old Testament sacrifice. And he says that their sacrificial giving had a sweet-smelling odor. Their sacrifice was acceptable and pleasing to God. And then in verse number 19, Paul speaks of God's supply. And that's where I want to spend our time focusing in here today, is verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We begin with those two most important words in this verse. The subject of this verse and this section is, Paul says, my God. Who is the one who Paul knew was able to supply their needs? It wasn't just any God. He didn't say a God or merely the God in whom you may happen to believe. Paul was not referring here to the gods of the Greeks or the Egyptians, the Assyrians or the Romans. When he said my God, he was being specific and he was being personal. Paul's God was Jehovah. It was Yahweh, Almighty God, the God of Israel. He who had revealed himself personally in Christ Jesus. He is a great God. He is a gracious and an effective God. To Paul, all other gods were not gods. They were idols. They were nothing. The God of Philippians 4:19 is the God who called Abraham. He called him out of Mesopotamia when he was an idol worshiper like everyone else there. He led him to a new land, promising that he would be blessed. He also promising that there would be greater blessing to all people through him. The God of Philippians 4:19 is the God who called Israel out of Egypt. He took them through the Red Sea. He preserved them in the wilderness for 40 years. He enabled them to conquer the land of Canaan. He's the God of David, the God of Elijah, the God of Jeremiah, the God of all the prophets. Those who spent their lives, and we have the written record of saying, there's one coming. This is the God they spoke of. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our salvation and triumphed over death. This God is a God who stands behind His promises. And Paul says of Him here, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. I would ask you this morning, is this your God? If He is not your God, you have never come to Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come today and experience the promises of God's care in the Bible. If you do believe in Him, He is your God, and you wish to obey Him, you will find Him strong in your hour of need. You will find Him entirely and consistently faithful. How many of you could say amen to that this morning? Surely He has been. So Paul first speaks of my God. Next he says, all your need. My God shall supply all your need. As God had met Paul's needs in the work of the gospel, so God would meet their needs. As Paul writes back to this church in Philippi, it says God will meet all your needs. And I would say to you this morning as we look to this passage that God will meet all of your needs as well. Just with verse 13 last time, we need to understand the all here within the context of this passage. Paul is speaking to those who actively supported the work of the Lord. God meets the needs of those who give to Him. I was taught as a child, and we'll never forget, that the way this thing works is as we are we allow ourselves to be a channel of God's blessings. And when we do that, He will never let that stream stop flowing through us. You can imagine a stream flowing through a channel. You appreciate the water that is there. But if you get to where you really enjoy the water and you want lots and lots and lots of the water and you want to keep most of it for yourself, what do? You dam it up. You build a dam. You stop that water and then it all stays behind the dam where you can get to it and you can have it all. What's the problem for everybody else downstream from you? It really dries up for them, doesn't it? That's exactly how it works in the Christian life. God blesses you. Every one of you here this morning, you've got nice looking clothes on. You're wondering if you look nice this morning. You do. You really do. I'm looking at every one of you. You drove here in a car. You were able to put gas in that car. You probably had something to eat or drink before you came. Hopefully you had a heated home before you left this morning, a roof over your head. God's been very good to you. God has blessed you, and He blesses us to allow us to bless others for His glory. Continue to allow your life to be this channel. And that's exactly what the church in Philippi was doing. In fact, we can see Paul alludes here that probably they were overdoing it just a little bit. He said, you guys wanted more opportunities to be able to give, but you lacked those opportunities. He said, you guys are giving till it hurts. You were being more of a channel. You guys weren't damming up the stream. you guys put a pump out there and helped it pump over faster to us, and you didn't take some for yourself. And that's exactly how it works. And that's the awe that Paul is speaking of here. All of those who give to the work of the Lord. Wearsby reminds us of this passage here that God has not promised to supply all our greeds. Do you ever fall prey to that sometimes? Dear Lord, you promised to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And it's almost as if the Holy Spirit clears his throat and says, it was needs, not greeds. But I really want that king-size Reese's. Why don't I have enough money in my pocket right now to get it? Are y'all not Reese's fans? I just knew that that would get an overwhelming amen. Wearsby says of this, when the child of God is in the will of God, serving for the glory of God, then he will have every need met. Hudson Taylor often said, when God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack for God's supply. Boyce defines our need here this way. He says we need forgiveness, we need fellowship with God, we need God's defense. He follows this up with we need God's testing. Many times we forget that that's one of our needs. We see that as a burden in our lives. But it's actually God supplying all our needs according to His riches and glory. Without God's testing, we can never develop into who He would have us to be. He is trying to make us perfect. He is trying to conform us to the image of His Son. When I think of this, I think of playing sports growing up. And there was always this guy called Coach. I don't know if he had other names. He might have been Bob. He might have been Mr. Jones. But his name to us was Coach. And he was always wearing a whistle. And he liked to use this whistle to blow it at us, to make us run. And I didn't like Coach for making me run. Didn't want to run, and I especially didn't want to be made to run. Can I get an amen there? You want me to get my whistle out? Do y'all want to see how I feel here? But he'd line us up. He'd say, on the line. He'd blow that whistle. He'd run to the other end. And then he'd blow it again, and we'd run back to the other end there. And we would run, and we would run, and we would run, and we would run. And we didn't like it. It made us sweat. It made us breathe hard. This time of year when basketball practice started, it was a little cool outside. It made you feel like you had bricks in your lungs. Y'all know that feeling? It was awful. I don't think this guy's going to kill us. He's mean. He doesn't like us. He didn't even want to be Coach. Get somebody who's fun and cheerful and grins more than this man. But what I came to understand is he was doing this because when it came time to play the game, I needed to be in shape and be able to run. Many times as we face testing in this life, We want to think, but I like the good, smiling, happy God who's going to supply all my needs because of His riches and glory, not the God who's making me go through this that I'm having to go through there. I feel like I've got bricks in my lungs. God's trying to perfect you. God's getting you ready to play the game. God's getting you ready to be able to be in shape to do what it is that He's going to have you to do. This also is your need. So my God, Paul says, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Boyce says, God has promised to fill the need of the believer in Jesus Christ out of His infinite wealth and resources. Now, I would warn you here with this verse, if you're like me, you think, oh man, His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What does that entail? Let me figure out what Paul means here. Don't fall prey to trying to determine what God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus is. Your mind can't comprehend that, can it? Rather, spend your time thinking on what isn't God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is any of this not His? Are any of us not His creation? Is the air we breathe not His? Is the sunshine that we see not His? Is the warmth that comes from that sunshine not His? Are the trees not His and the leaves that are on those trees not His? Maybe not this time of year when they fall off in our yards and we have to get rid of them. Those are the devils, right? What is not His? What are not His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Surely He, Almighty God, the Creator of all that we know and all that we do not know, can supply all your need. How can His riches be infinite? Have you ever considered this? How could they be? We see the richest in the world fall. These athletes, they get millions of dollars. And then one day we hear they're bankrupt. And I think, how? How are they bankrupt? You know, I got thousands of dollars and I'm getting by. These guys have millions. And I think, you know, you think to yourself, now if I had millions, do y'all ever play that game? If I won the lottery. Hopefully if you're thinking if you won the lottery, your first thought is, I would give a whole bunch of money to the church. Is that your thought right off the bat? Keep it like that. That's good. How can God's riches be infinite? Well, that's a very simple answer. God is eternal in His being. If He always has been and He always will be, how can He ever not? Well, fill in the blank there because it works for everything. How can He ever not? How can He ever not show mercy and grace? How can He ever not be God? How can He ever not have eternal or infinite riches and wealth? Especially through Christ Jesus, who's conquered all of this. This is His. This is His kingdom. He's not come to inhabit it yet except through you and I, but this is His. He came and conquered the most powerful beings upon the face of the earth and lived to tell about it. And is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting to come for you and I. It's all His. Paul writes here and says, you guys have been so good to me. I'm thankful for your supply. But let me tell you this. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Is His arm short that He cannot save? Let's answer that this morning. Is His arm short that He cannot save? No. Is His ear heavy that He cannot hear? It comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 1. I'll share this story with you. As a child, a lady had been taught to make a little box of Bible verses containing a selection of the promises of God from Scripture. Each verse was written on a small piece of paper about the size of a piece of chewing gum, and each was then rolled up to make a miniature scroll. After there were 40 or 50 of these small scrolls, they were placed on end in a tiny open box. This was the promise box. She had been encouraged as a child to pull out one verse each morning and read it. One day, during World War II, when she was much older, she was feeling terribly discouraged by many things that had happened. In her depression, her mind turned to the little box of promises that had been long since forgotten. She went to the drawer of the dresser where she kept the box and took it out. She prayed, Lord, you know how depressed I am. You know that I need a word of encouragement. Isn't there a promise here somewhere that can help me? She finished her praying and stepped over to the window where the light was better for reading. As she did, she tripped over a loose edge of the rug, and all the promises spilled out onto the carpet. She immediately got the point and prayed again joyfully, Lord, how foolish I have been to ask for one promise when there are so many glorious promises in your word. Think of God's rich supply just in His word. I mean, we think of His creation, we think of His eternal state of being, but just think of His rich supply right here in His word. Think of John 3:16. You all know John 3:16. What does it promise? Everlasting salvation. It's not that I'm saved from my sins today and if I don't mess up tomorrow, I will be tomorrow. No, everlasting salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord for this. Romans 8:28 promises that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that a wonderful promise to the believers in the Bible? Great. John 10:28 says no one can snatch us out of His hand. Do you ever get afraid? Do you ever feel Satan? Oh, I get so eerie, especially this time of year, Halloween and the ghouls and the ghosts and the skeletons and the zombies and all these things. And I'm thinking, ugh, get the evil over and get Thanksgiving turkeys here. I feel a little better about things with all of that. But no one can snatch us out of His hand. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we studied a couple of weeks ago. It says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and what will you get? Peace of God. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 tells us if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Well, that's a promise from the Bible, isn't it? And of course, our text verse today, Philippians 4, 19, God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is thankful here for God's supply. Think of it this way. Do you need salvation? God will supply salvation. Do you need strength for the trial that you're facing? God will supply strength. If you are lonely, God can meet and comfort you in your loneliness. If you are discouraged, He can lift you up. In fact, He's promised to do it. No need is left out, for the verse says God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for God's supply. I hope you are as well this morning. Let's all stand and have a time of prayer. And as we pray today, let's take this time to be thankful. I know it's not Thanksgiving yet, but it's close enough. Tell God this morning how thankful for you are for His supply. I know you have troubles. I know you have burdens. I know you have things that you're facing that you need to worry about. But before you begin your week stressing over those things, spend some time this morning in prayer, thanking God for His rich supply in your life through Christ Jesus. If you're here today, you're not saved. Come today and let me show you in God's Word how to let this become your God. Paul says, "My God shall supply all your needs." He can be your God today as well.